When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Gin Blossoms lead singer Robin Wilson fronts the Smithereens twice this weekend in the D.C. area. First at the State Theater in Falls Church, Virginia on Saturday, then at the Rams Head in Annapolis, Maryland on Sunday. He joined me to preview both gigs and share his lifelong fandom of the Smithereens, as well as to break down his own biggest Gin Blossoms hits, including Hey Jealousy, Found Out About You, Till I Hear It From You, Allison Road, and Follow You Down.
Hello.
Hey, Robin Wilson. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in Washington, D.C.
Well, thank you very much, Jason. I appreciate you having me on the air and helping us promote our upcoming show. Thank you.
Of course, of course. Well, everyone, of course, knows your voice mostly from, you know, the frontman of the Gin Blossoms, but these shows we're promoting, you'll be fronting the Smithereens, another famous band of generally the same era, you know, 80s, 90s, a ton of hits. You'll be at the State Theater in Falls Church, Virginia on January 20th, and then Rams Head in Annapolis on January 21st. So two chances to see you. So, hey, remind our listeners, maybe if they haven't, you know, aren't familiar, like, you know, the Smithereens lead singer Pat Denizio passed away in, what, 2017. So you and Marshall Crenshaw have been basically taking turns fronting it. Is that right?
That is correct. Marshall gets most of the work because my other band, Gin Blossoms, keeps me busy out on the road. And I'm actually in Northern California today to do a Gin Blossoms show at a really nice casino up here. And then I wish I could do more with the Smithereens, but, you know, I get in there when I can. But I'm real excited about this run that starts next week. We're going from Philly down to Falls Church to Annapolis. Then we go to Nashville, where we're playing at the Ryman Auditorium to support Mr. Big. That's very cool. And then we're playing in New York City at Sony Hall. So it's a 5-date run, and I'm very excited about it. I love playing with the Smithereens. It's great music. And for the first time since I've been working with them, I'm going to be playing electric guitar on this run. And so I'm very excited to play electric guitar on stage again, which I haven't done in like 17 years. So I've got really cool guitars. I've got a really cool pedal board, and I can't wait to like break that out and be a rockin' guitar player on stage with the Smithereens.
Awesome. Get to bust out some new toys for us. That's awesome.
Yes, indeed. Actually, they're vintage toys. These are the same guitars I played back in the 90s. And, you know, one of the reasons I bought a Rickenbacker was because I was a fan of Smithereens and REM and the Beatles and the Byrds and all those Tom Petty, all those great artists that played Rickenbackers. And that's how I wanted to sound when I played when I play rhythm guitar. And so I've got this beautiful Rickenbacker 330 that I get to use it in the studio, and I play it around the house, but I haven't had it on stage. I haven't been able to wield it as a rhythm guitar player live on stage in a long time. So I'm very excited about it.
I love that you just mentioned Tom Petty, because he had that Christmas song where he asked Santa for a new Rickenbacker guitar.
Yes, indeed. Of course, one of my heroes, you know, and the Smithereens too. You know, I was a huge fan of their music before I ever started playing with them. I've been listening to them since their first album came out, Especially for You. It was a big record in the Tempe music scene where I came up in Tempe, Arizona. The Smithereens had a huge impact on our music scene, and everybody that I knew and all of my friends, we were all really into the Smithereens. And I actually got to meet them in 1988, I was working at a record store and they came through town promoting their second album, Green Thoughts. And we did an in-store appearance with them at the record store. And I was so excited to meet them and went to the show that night. And I actually stole the set list off of the stage at the end of the show. And I had it hanging in my recording studio for many, many years. And once a long time ago in 1997, Pat DiNizio came through town and he made a solo record in my studio. And I got to take him into the little workshop area and show him that I had his handwritten set list on the wall. And it was always a treasured memento. And he was really, you know, he laughed and he put his arm around me and goes, "That's so cool. You know, I appreciate that you're such a fan." And is this makes me laugh because I look at this set list and I realize that back then we had so few songs. And he got a big laugh out of that. And, you know, I got to know Pat a little bit. I didn't know him too well, but I didn't really know the other guys at all until I started working with them. And now I love them to death. They're great. I can't wait to play with them next week.
Those are such good stories with the lyrics. And the, I mean, I didn't realize your Smithereendom fandom goes back way back. So you, I guess you were what, like 15 when they, in the Smithereens formed in Jersey, I guess in 80, right? Yeah. You were born 16.
In 1980. Yeah. I would have been about 15. Yeah. And I was 20 when their first album came out. I was 22 when Green Thoughts came out. And you know, those very formative years as a young rock and roller and a songwriter and learning to sing. And nice. I used to do some of their songs in a cover band, and I did some of their tunes in my acoustic solo happy hour gigs. And they've just always been a big part of my music collection. And now to be a part of that band is super cool. And like I said, a lot of my friends and family are fans. My brother Lee is a huge Smithereens fan. He's always followed them. And when I first started working with him, my brother said to me, "You know, Rob, I always thought it was cool that you were in the Jim Blossoms, but no big deal. But now that you're in the Smithereens, I'm going to have to start taking you seriously." And I thought it was like a perfect, you know, encapsulation. You know, it really, even with my bandmates in Jim Blossoms, you know, all of a sudden I have like all of this credibility that that they didn't realize I had. So it's a big deal for me. I absolutely love being a part of the group, and I can't wait to do these shows next week. It's going to be awesome.
That's hilarious, because so many of us Jim Blossoms fans would say that that's validation enough. But for you, it's saying for you being in the Smithereens was the seal of approval that finally did it. I love it.
Yes, indeed.
So, I mean, maybe we can get into Jim Blossoms later, you know, if we have time. But let's start with some of the Smithereens hits you were talking about. That first album had Blood and Roses on it, you know, especially for you as the album. But Blood and Roses, I assume we'll hear that if we turn out to these shows. So, yeah, well, how fun is that one playing a song that you grew up, you know, you said you grew up listening to it. What's it like actually getting to sing it?
It's great. It's such a thrill to be on stage with those guys. I've known these songs my whole life, and you know, I as a singer, I had covered them so much. Pat's vocal inflections and his cadence and delivery was always something that had worked its way into my performance and delivery. You know, in the same way that, you know, I came up singing along with records by Queen and Cheap Trick and Tom Petty and Michael Stipe of REM, and all of those guys have helped shape the way that I deliver my vocal performances. And Pat DiNizio was in there too. You know, when I joined up with these dudes, I knew most of the songs already, but then I really had to get into it and memorize all the lyrics. But as far as like the cadence of the delivery and the notes, I've had that down, and it was just a matter of memorizing the thousands and thousands of lyrics. And they really are. It's a ton of lyrics. There's probably like at least, 1.5 times as many words in a Smithereens song as there are in a typical Jim Blossom song. There's a lot more words to memorize, and Pat has a clever way of writing lyrics that it just about any one of the verses can be delivered out of sequence, and so sometimes it gets confusing. It's not like a A, B, C kind of thing where you can, it has to be delivered in a certain order for the song to make sense. You can sort of jumble up the verses, and that gets confusing to me. And then he also has a habit of like changing every chorus. Jesus. So it can be it was a lot of work, like really memorizing all of the lyrics properly. And there's one song he's got where there's five different choruses. Every you do the chorus five times and the words change for every single one, you know? So it's almost like from beyond the grave, he's giving me the finger and saying, you just try and keep up with my genius, you know? Wow. Anyway, like I said, it's worth all the effort.
That's awesome. Yeah, and obviously these songs that you're talking about, I mean, they were, you know, rock radio fans remember the songs themselves, but I'm also a big movie guy, and there was a ton of cool movie tie-ins for a lot of those hits, like Blood and Roses. I think the video had some clips from Dangerously Close, that movie. Bull Durham had Only a Memory in it. Only a Memory was in the movie Bull Durham. Love that movie. And then as I was going back and researching, I forgot that A Girl Like You, which came out in 89, was originally written for Say Anything, but they said that there was too many plot spoilers, but they refused to change the lyrics. I think they took it out of the movie, but were you aware of any of that? Those Hollywood tie-ins on some of those?
Well, I knew about the I forgot the name of the movie, Say Anything. I wouldn't have been able to recall that, but I do remember hearing that they had written the song for a movie and then it got rejected because it was too literal an interpretation of the movie. But I wouldn't have been able to remember that was the name of the movie.
You just remember John Cusack with the boombox over his head. You remember the image, but not the title.
Absolutely. I heard Peter Gabriel the other day, and immediately it's, you know, like my brain becomes infected with, you know, images of John Cusack. And it's like, God damn it. Can't I just listen to this song without having to think about him? You know, I mean, he's a great actor and I've always loved his movies and stuff, but you know, that's where your brain goes, you know, when you hear that tune. So
music is like that in movies. Actually, Cusack's in town this month at Warner Theater screening that movie, so there you go, another plug. But yeah, I mean, A Girl Like You was great, and then Too Much Passion. There's so many that you'll be able to perform. It's just great. Well, I don't know. Will the set list, I assume it's mostly Smithereen stuff because you're fronting them, but do you ever do any fun winks to the audience and mix in any Jim Blossom stuff, like any encores or anything?
Not really. There was a couple times where both Marshall Crenshaw and I were there singing, and we were like tag teaming the vocals throughout the show. And at that show, for the encore, Marshall and I took the stage and we performed a song that he and I and our guitar player Jesse had written together, which was one of the biggest Jim Blossoms hits, Till I Hear It From You. So Marshall and I have done that a couple times at Smithereen's gigs, but in general, you know, I'm never going to go to the Smithereens and say, hey, can we learn Hey Jealousy, or can we do this Jim Blossoms tune? I don't see the point of that. If the audience ever demands it, or the band ever thinks it's a good idea, then I would just do like a solo acoustic interpretation of a Jim Blossom song during the encore, just as like a special bonus. But the getting them to learn a Jim Blossom song, I don't see the point of that, you know, and I'm certainly not going to ask Jim Blossoms to perform a Smithereens tune. But there was a time last spring we played at Hootie Fest in Cancun, Mexico, and the guys in Hootie and the Blowfish are really big Smithereens fans.
Nice.
And when they heard that I was fronting the Smithereens, one night during the festival, they called me out on stage to sing Blood and Roses with Hootie and the Blowfish. So that's as close as I figure I'll ever come to like mixing all these things up.
And Hootie, they've come on with us a couple times because they have some members from up this way in Virginia, I think. So
Maryland.
Yeah.
But, yes. And in fact, when I was looking at my calendar a couple of weeks ago, and I saw that we were playing at the Ram's Head, which is a legendary club for touring rock bands in this country. Everybody's played at the Ram's Head. The Jim Blossoms have played there for like 15 years in a row. And I remember a couple of times when I was there seeing posters of Mark Bryant from Hootie and the Blowfish, that he had solo gigs coming up at the Ram's Head in Annapolis. So now when I think of the Ram's Head, I think of Mark Bryant. And so I texted him a couple of weeks back and I'm like, dude, I just looked at my calendar. I saw Ram's Head and I thought of you. And he wrote back with a thumbs up saying, yeah, I love that joint. So
Mark Bryan is literally the band member I was talking about. He joined us a couple months, I guess like a year or two ago now, but what a guy. Awesome guy. Well, that's great. Well, I know our listeners, when they're listening to this, I mean, I think we thoroughly plugged the Smithereens, but I'm sure if they see your name, they're going to be like, oh, please at least ask a couple questions about Jim Blossoms. Do you have any time to go through a couple of them, or you got to run?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So yeah, I know.
What do you mean?
I know you joined. You joined the band. You mentioned Tempe, Arizona area in like '88, but you weren't the lead vocalist at first, right? You replaced the guitarist, but you quickly got bumped over to lead vocals. For that first album, Dusted in '89. That of course had Hey Jealousy. Just memories of putting that one together. It wasn't written by you, right? That was the guitarist, I think, right? Wrote it.
Yes, our founding guitar player Doug Hopkins wrote Hey Jealousy about a week before we were scheduled to record our debut record down in Tucson. And he showed me the song at rehearsal, and you know, immediately we knew this was a great tune. And so we learned it that night at rehearsal, and it sounded so great from the beginning. We said we got to record this next week when we make the record. And so we put it on our first album. And then when we got signed to A&M Records and went to record our debut for them, of course, that one was one of the founding tunes that we were going to put on the record. And I honestly didn't think of it as a single. I knew it was a great song, but I didn't really think it was the single. And I was pushing the label for some of the other tunes to be singles. But you know, I guess there's something in there that I didn't quite see, and I guess I was just too close to all the material to have the perspective that an A&R guy might have. So I didn't think Jealousy was the single, but obviously it's our most famous tune. And I'll tell a quick side story about that one. When we first signed to A&M Records, we went out, or even before we got signed to A&M, they were courting us, and they came to see us. Our A&R guy came to see us in New Orleans on our first U.S. tour. And he brought along Peter Buck of REM to come and see us. And the idea was that Peter Buck might be a potential producer for us. But I think mostly he just brought Peter Buck because he wanted to impress us. And so Peter Buck saw our show, and after the show, we're all in the dressing room, and he starts talking about our set, and he mentions Hey Jealousy by name, and the reaction of our band, like all five of us, all of a sudden, like our ears perked up, we all took a step towards him, and we really wanted to hear what he had to say about our music. And he was obviously paying attention when we were on stage, because he had figured out the names of the songs. And he, during that conversation, he also explained that he was learning to play mandolin. And he was taking mandolin record or lessons. And then the very next record that REM put out was Out of Time, and the single Losing My Religion features Peter Buck playing mandolin, And the riff on Losing My Religion is essentially the exact same riff of Hey Jealousy. It's that
Whoa, I
da
never
na na
made that
na na
connection.
da 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 da. So it was real obvious to us, like
Wow.
right away, holy crap. Here's REM, one of our biggest influences,
Yeah.
and they had one of their biggest songs influenced by our music. And so the way that these things come around and are, there's like this cycle, this circle of music. It's really cool. And so yeah, I don't have any problem declaring that I'm pretty sure Losing My Religion was inspired by Hey Jealousy. Go figure.
And yeah, and no jealousy there on the part of Buck. That's great.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Well, you had a fun side story involving a mandolin. I just thought of another one, cut at least from my side. My wife grew up, she actually opened for the Dixie Chicks when she was younger. But so she was, all she grew up on was like country, and Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn, all that, and then Garth and Reba, obviously. But she said that when she was shopping for earrings with her family in Claire's jewelry store in the mall and found out about you over the speaker, was her first introduction to rock music at all. And it converted her, man. So that memories of that song, Whispers at the Bus Stop, Nights at the Schoolyard. Like, what do you think about that? Grab my wife's ear.
That's awesome, and that's what motivates me my whole life. That's what's motivated me to, to be a singer and a songwriter, is having those kinds of powerful moments of discovery. And, I've been on this path since I was a kid, because I wanted to be like my heroes.
Yeah.
And, Tom Petty and Robin Zander and, Paul Stanley and, Freddie Mercury and those kind of guys. So, I've been doing this all these years because of those kinds of powerful moments,
Absolutely. Well, we mentioned really quick. So those two songs, obviously, I think you re-recorded Hey Jealousy and Found Out About You for the second album, New Miserable Experience in 92. But in addition to those re-recordings, there were a couple big hits that you actually wrote. So I want to ask about the ones that you wrote, Until I Fall Away and Allison Road, I've Lost My Mind. What inspired you to actually write those two? Those were just as big, if you ask me.
They both made it into the onto the charts. There was actually a moment where Allison Road had made it all the way to number four on the singles chart, and that same week Madonna was number five, and I thought that was so cool that I actually saved and framed that page of Billboard magazine, because I just thought it was so cool that my song was above Madonna's. But her song was actually had made it all the way to number one, and it was falling down the charts. It had just fallen from number one to number five the week.
Remember which
Allison
one it was?
Wrote.
What Madonna song was it? Do you remember?
No, I couldn't
I don't
say.
Remember.
You'd have to look at a calendar or whatever to figure that out. But
yeah.
I was always very proud of that song. The first time we ever played it in Los Angeles. In our early days, we would go out to Hollywood every month to play these showcase gigs for labels. And there was a guy from the music press that was in the audience, and he wrote an article about us. And he said, he was talking about our tunes, and he said, Allison Road is the best Tom Petty song that Tom Petty never wrote. Whoa. And when I read that, I was just like, God damn it, I am on the right path. As a songwriter, I nailed it, you know, if you could get somebody to think that and put it in an article. So, that was a moment of great inspiration for me. And last year, actually, our hometown in Tempe, Arizona, renamed a famous street where I used to have my recording studio. They renamed it Allison Road Avenue. And I actually insisted that they call it Allison Road Avenue, because if it just said Allison Road, people would think, oh, it's just a street called Allison Road. But and it's a road named after some girl named Allison. But I wanted it to be clear that it was named after the song. So I insisted that they put up signs that say Allison Road Avenue. And I got the city of Tempe to make an extra one of those street signs, and I've got it hanging up in my kitchen. So and then you asked me about Until I Fall Away. I was riding my skateboard through downtown Tempe, and I heard music playing. There's an amphitheater in downtown called the Hayden Square, and I heard this awesome music, and I skated over, and Crowded House was on stage sound checking. And the song they were playing was called Whenever I Fall at Your Feet. Mm. And it's this beautiful, beautiful tune that I started covering several years ago. And when I heard Crowded House doing that song, I thought, I need to write something like that. And as it happened, not too long after that, I was all brokenhearted over a girl, and I came up with Until I Fall Away. And when we first went to Memphis to record that album, New Miserable Experience, none of my bandmates had heard it yet, and I had been trying to get them to rehearse for months, but everybody was so lazy, nobody would get together to rehearse, and nobody wanted to hear any of my new material, because we were all really competitive as songwriters, and nobody wanted me to get another song on the record. And so I was really pissed off when we got to Memphis, because none of the band had heard any of my newest songs, and none of them were going to be on the album. And so I was pouting, and I was really pissed off, and I was really distant for the first few days that we were in Memphis to record that record. And our producer, John Hampton, he picked up on that vibe. And when I wasn't there, he asked my bandmates, what's going on with Robin? And they said, oh, well, he's pissed off because we're not doing any of his new songs. And John said, well, you know, we really need Robin to be into this. So why don't we learn something of his? And so all of a sudden the phone rings. And it's our producer, John, and he's like, Robin, get your cassette of demos and get back to the studio. We're gonna learn one of your songs. And so, you know, I went back to the studio with my cassette. I had like six tunes on it. And all of a sudden I was like so nervous, like, what if they don't like any of them? You know, what if all of these songs suck? And so I played them my cassette there in the control room at the studio, and Until I Fall Away was the one that jumped out, and we all agreed to learn it. And so we started learning it that night, and then the next day we came in and tracked the drums. And then that night the producer told me, listen, you really need to write a bridge for this song. And so I sat there, it's like midnight, and I was at the band house where we were staying, and I'm like, all right, you know, I've got to step up as a songwriter. I need to write a really good bridge for this tune. And, you know, I came up with the bridge. And when we finished the record and we turned it in, I remember our A&R guy called me and he said, "Hey, Robin, Until I Fall Away is a great song. It's going to be a hit single." And I was like, holy, holy crap. You know, Doug is going to be so jealous. You know,
hey, jealousy.
I remember thinking Doug is going to be so pissed off that I wrote a single. So anyway, I showed him.
Man, you sure did. Man, these are such great stories. Thank you so much for sharing all these. This is just like, you know, crack for fans of the bands here. Hey, maybe time for one more. We'll close out with the double, and it's a double whammy. It was a double A side. Didn't you do Till I Hear It From You and Follow You Down were sort of released as a double A side? Well, I know the one was Till I Hear It From You was on the Empire Records soundtrack, the movie. There's another movie tie-in. But yeah, just tell me about, we'll close out with those two songs, because I think that I could cue up some music for the radio and really rock out on those. But yeah,
okay, sure,
what was the idea to release those as sort of a double A?
Well, actually, as you said, Till I Hear It From You was on that soundtrack. And then it was about several months after that we went back to Memphis to record our second record, Congratulations, I'm Sorry. And we decided as a group that we didn't want Till I Hear It From You on the record. We wanted to write an entire batch of new songs. But when the album came out in Europe, the label over there is like a separate entity, and they didn't give us any choice. They just told us that they were putting Till I Hear It From You on the second record. So the European version has both songs, both of those tunes on it, but the US version only doesn't have Till I Hear It From You. But when we recorded that record, the second album, we thought we were done. We wrapped up the sessions in Memphis and we came home, and then the label called us and said, you need another single. You need to write another hit single. And they were very clear that we needed to write a hit song. And this was the moment where we were under more pressure than any other time in our career, because we were following up our very successful debut album, and we had lost Doug Hopkins as a songwriter. So it was really on me and Jesse to write the album, and we had to prove to the world that Doug wasn't the only songwriter in the group. So we're under a tremendous amount of pressure. The label comes to us and says, the record isn't done, go write a hit. And Jesse came up with the chorus for Follow You Down. And then he showed it to Bill, and Bill changed or he added a line or helped Jesse sort of refine the lyrics of the chorus. And then they gave it to me, and there were no verses. There was no lyrics for any of the verses. It was just a chorus, and it was on me to like finish the song. And I remember that, you know, that pressure of feeling like I really got to step up and write something really solid here. And when you're writing a song in that fashion, somebody gives you a chorus, the process is that you have to kind of work backwards from the chorus and come up with a verse that leads you to the lyrics of the chorus. And so you kind of have to reverse engineer it and figure out what is the rest of the story that you're telling. And, you know, the chorus is kind of like the punchline. And I know that Dave Chappelle does this. He apparently he has a list of punchlines, and then he writes the rest of the joke around the punchline. And that's kind of what it's like when you're working as a songwriter and somebody gives you a chorus. You have to work backwards and figure out what the rest of the story is. And so that's how I approached it. And we wrote Follow You Down, and it went on to become a top 10 single. And we performed it on Saturday Night Live and Letterman and The Tonight Show. And, you know, the record went platinum, and, you know, we had a number one hit in Canada and also in the Philippines with that song. And, you know, it's a really proud moment for the band to have faced down all of that tremendous pressure and the weight of losing Doug Hopkins and writing a a classic song that stood up to the rest of our material was an important step for us. And so we'll be starting tonight's show with Follow You Down, actually. So it's a great way to start the gig, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. When you say tonight, where are you playing tonight? Because this is pre-tape.
We're in Northern California what is it called? Santa Rosa is the name of the town. And we're playing at a really fancy schmancy casino up here.
So. Well, win some money or something at the casino and then come on in ready to rock us in Falls Church, Virginia at the State Theater. And then Ramshead,
yes.
Annapolis, Maryland, a legendary spot, like you said. So Robin Wilson of Jim Blossoms will be fronting this time the Smithereens, a band he grew up listening to. I've loved hearing all these stories. I guess this here in D.C. or Maryland, Virginia will be your last two chances to warm up for the legendary Ryman Auditorium in Nashville on the 24th. So, you know. Work it out with that electric guitar, man.
Yeah, I certainly will. I'm very excited about it. And, you know, love the State Theater. Love playing in Annapolis at the Ram's Head. I'm looking forward to a big plate of shepherd's pie down at the Ram's Head. And, you know, I love both of these joints. I love playing with the Smithereens, and I can't wait to rock.
Awesome. Well, anywhere you go, our listeners will follow you down. All right. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for taking so much time with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Jason. Have a great day. Everybody, rock away.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.